You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday. Gone by pretty quick here. First 2 hours, we'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. More of your phone calls as well. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. College football is part of the fabric of American life. And for the season to be canceled would be another devastating blow in what's been a very difficult year. This weekend, the Mid-American Conference became the first FBS conference to call off games for the fall. And as I mentioned, the last couple of hours, the information I got was Northern Illinois was the one that started this. Northern Illinois said, we're not going to play this year. The Mid-American Conference, all of their presidents got together and then said, well, we're not going to play then as a conference. Now I'm getting information. I got information at 8 a.m. this morning that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are scheduled to announce tomorrow that they will not be playing football in the fall. Some of the other information that I've received is that the ACC and the Big 12 are on the fence. Not quite sure if they're going to play or not. The SEC is trying to get a delay and have teams join them. The SEC is looking at exclusive TV contracts right now. Three Big Ten teams that my source spoke to said it's done. It's a foregone conclusion that the Big Ten will not be playing football. There were two presidents in the Big Ten who voted to play. That was Nebraska and Iowa. Just got report from the Des Moines Register that Iowa has canceled their practice for today. That's all I know. Not a good sign. So that's just some of the information that I've received so far this morning that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are it looks like they're going to announce tomorrow that they're going to cancel. The ACC, Big 12, from what I'm hearing with the Big 12, I spent the whole weekend talking to this source because this was what was going on over the last 72 hours with college football. I don't know what changed from last week when the Big Ten announced its schedule. And then I go, what happened in the last 5 days? The Pac-12 didn't want to be the first conference to cancel, from what I'm told. Oklahoma and Texas are fighting the rest of the Big 12 to continue playing football. The MAC dropped football because they don't have the money to test. Safety, a big issue, but money was the impetus. Northern Illinois was pulling out and led the charge. So just some of the information that I have this morning and got over the weekend. I had some people who reached out and said, well, you had Pat Forty on. You know, you say you're unbiased. Why don't you have Joel Klatt on? And I love having Joel Klatt on. He's a great analyst for Fox Sports. We've had him on many, many times. And I know that he said, hey, you know, we want these players to speak up, get them back on the field. I'm rooting for college football. I need college football. I'm the one that watches the MAC. I'm the one that watches the noon game on ESPN when it's Maryland versus Rutgers. By request, Joel Klatt on the program. Joel, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man. No problem. How are you?
I'm doing okay here. How do you sum up the past 24, 48 hours here with college football?
Liability.
Yep.
That's how I sum it up. You know, I think it has turned into an interesting case study in what happens when you actually get to the decision maker. You know, back when I was first married to my wife, she was in business-to-business sales, and she would sell copiers, right? And it's one of the, like, toughest things to actually do. And the principle that she always talked about was that you've got to get to the decision-maker, right? So that's what she would try to do every time she walked into a business. Well, what we've been doing over the last few months, Dan, is we have not been getting to the decision maker. Once the presidents got into the room and they started looking at this, not from a player safety aspect, but from a liability aspect, they started looking for ways to punt. Because I want to be very clear. I believe, players believe, athletic directors believe, coaches believe, that the players are safer within the structure, the protocols, and the procedures of trying to play a college football season, testing twice a week, medical obviously available, the training, the nutrition, the structure of college football. They are safer in that environment, being tested, being monitored, being within all of those procedures – than if they were to just say, hey, the season is canceled and you can go on your way. If they go out into the normal course of life, they are much more likely, I think, to contract the virus. Not only that, but they at times probably won't even know it because this age group is majority of the case asymptomatic when they contract the virus. So, again, I don't think that this is about trying to keep players safe because I think that they can keep players safer within the structure of football. I believe that this is about liability.
Yep.
So the only thing that changed from the time that schedules came out early last week to now is that the decision makers got in the room, the ones that are actually standing at the vault door of the financial shoestrings of these universities. Because what they don't want to see is the growing crowd of liability lawyers that are out there and plaintiffs' lawyers that are out there absolutely frothing at the mouth to try to bring a case against a university or a conference.
Yeah, that was the word that was singled out for me this morning. And my source said, I'll sum it up in one word, liability. So when you said that, it just reinforces what is being said throughout college football right now. But can the SEC, from what I'm told, the SEC is trying to see if they can bring in some people, and they're looking at, an exclusive TV contract. Like, the SEC is still trying to get this up and running. Can you see maybe the SEC is an outlier playing football this year?
Yeah, I can. I think that this is what's so fascinating about the structure or lack thereof of college football is that, it's not one size fits all. And no one person is going to make the decision for every single conference, nor are they going to make the decision for every single university. Here's what I also think is interesting. Dan, you could take it a step further. I've talked to at least two athletic directors that have told me, regardless of what their conference does, if their governor will allow it, they will go out and try to find football games. So think about that, right? Like
state by state,
it is at to some degree the wild, wild west that we're entering into because of the lack of structure that we've all known about in college football. And we've all lamented it in the form of like, oh, the postseason and the playoff and why isn't there better scheduling and so on. But now it's like real world, like how do we get teams on the field? How do we protect kids the best way that we possibly can? And I would just go back to the point, and I want to reiterate it if you don't mind, is that I absolutely believe, and most everybody that I talk to within the sport believes, that the kids are going to be safer within the structure of college football than outside of the structure of college football. So if they punt on this season, it is not for health and safety reasons. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I even brought that up to Pat Forty that, aren't these football players, the Power Five conferences that can afford this? I was told the Mid-American Conference doesn't have the money for all the testing that it was going to take, and Northern Illinois was pulling the cord on this, and so they said, well, then we have to shut this down. The Power Five.
Well, not only that, Dan, but they lost their revenue games, right? Their only revenue structure is to play, basically if you're the MAC, the Big Ten, or then maybe the ACC. And when you lose those revenue games because those conferences are going to go conference only, there's no financial viability to even trying to play. But yes, go ahead.
And that's the way it was with Connecticut. When Connecticut decided to shut down, they were an independent. It's not a big revenue producing sport, and they had lost games in the ACC and some of the other conferences. So they basically had no choice but to shut down. I just don't know if there's this movement with college players, some of the marquee players, Trevor Lawrence, like what can be done, do you think, over the next 4, 5, 6 days? Would players sign a waiver? Can you do something like that? Is there something to reduce the liability or remove liability? And how quickly can you do something like this?
I don't know. I wish I was smarter. I would figure this thing out, right? But I do know just procedurally, I think that there are a couple of things that I would want to speak to, and that is the overall structure of the schedule of college football as well as the everyday life of the college football player. Okay, so I'll speak to those two things. Let's start with the life of the college football player. If they're going to be within these testing protocols, then that bubble that is created, remember, is a little bit different than any other sport because they can just be around their team. And if you're worried about them congregating with other students on campus, then I think it's very easy by just putting all of their classes online. So you create a little bit of an academic bubble for the football team. And most of these kids, by the way, and I know this is different from when all of us were in school, but most of these college football players are taking most of their classes online anyways. I would just move the entire football team, their entire schedule, to online classes. And then the next thing I would do is I would actually expand the season, not the number of games, but the number of weeks that we'd be trying to play these games. Because the other element that these decision makers are talking about is that with a protocol or a procedure of a 14-day isolation or quarantine with positive tests, which we all know will be inevitable, I think that what they're finding out and seeing with, let's say, Major League Baseball is that it's going to be incredibly difficult to play every single game, and you're going to have cancellations and delays and stops and starts and so on and so forth, and they're going to try to avoid that. By expanding the length of the season, not the number of games, what you would do, at least in my model, is that you would play a game every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So what that would allow for is more testing and then time for isolation and quarantine, and yet not losing games because players are isolated and quarantined. You can get them back to a better – I think you can protect a player better if you're playing every 2 weeks rather than trying to have like this – sprint to the finish of like 10 games in 12 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's the two things I would do.
Yeah, and I'd suggest it if you did 16 weeks and you did 8 games, then you would have that ability to almost hit the reset button, and I agree with you on that. And look, this is a fluid situation, Joel, but I don't know where we're going. I knew where we were, at least I thought I did, and now I'm not sure what's going to happen by week's end, but it doesn't look good. And I appreciate you joining us on short notice. Always love your insights.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you having me on. Have a good day, bud.
All right, that's Joel Klatt, Fox Sports. Yeah, lots changed here. But if you played an 8-game schedule and did it over 16 weeks, and then you could have another conference that was, you know, so you staggered them. So then you could have conference games. The Big Ten would be one weekend, and the Big 12 would be one weekend. Pac-12, and then the ACC, and maybe the SEC would be in there. Maybe you could do something like that, and then you could ensure, you know, even more safety precautions would be put in place there. Yeah, Paul.
And Dan, if you started a 16-week, 8-game schedule the first weekend of September, you would still wrap up the college football regular season before Christmas,
yeah.
So it would not affect a 4-team playoff.
A couple of phone calls here, and then we'll take a break. TJ in Texas joins us. TJ, thanks for holding. What's on your mind, best and worst of the weekend?
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call again. Two best. First is hearing Jim Nance's voice again during a major. Just makes the entire tournament experience sound different on TV. My second one is my Phoenix Suns going 5-0 in the bubble so far, and they're going to make it 6-0 tonight with the win over OKC. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Have a good day.
All right, TJ. Yeah, the Suns are playing well. Maybe Devin Booker doesn't need to get out of Phoenix. Chris in Arizona. Hi, Chris. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, I just wanted to say my best and worst of the weekend was the previous caller, the 5-0 Phoenix Suns, and then the worst is Draymond Green getting fined $50,000 for wanting Booker out of Phoenix. With all the stars that leave it, it's a pretty fair statement. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. Yeah, Devin Booker signed that contract extension, didn't he? Doesn't he have like a $158 million coming his way? If he really wanted to get out of there. Let me see. Derek in Virginia joining us. Hi, Derek. What do you have?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. 511-175. And I just want to say thank you for all you do. So suck at no one. my best of the weekend is Morikawa winning the PGA. Yeah. That smile's contagious, and just that shot on 16 was absolutely unbelievable. But the main reason I wanted to call is I want to tell my cheating story in support of Chrissy. What I did was I had an AP chemistry exam coming up in the afternoon, so I had a periodic table in my pocket. I went into the bathroom stall, and I wrote the periodic table invertedly on my man boobs. And then what I would do during the test in the afternoon is I would look down my shirt and wipe my brow, pretend to wipe my brow. And and I'm totally proud of that.
All right. What, Paulie?
Dan is, an expert on this type of topic. Anytime the proof is on your body, that's terrible. It's almost impossible to dispose. and they're wiping the brow move. That's amateur hour. You're better than that.
Let me go to the resident cheater. Todd?
Have you seen a periodic table of the elements? That's a lot to fit on a chest or anywhere. And the little numbers for the atomic radii and valence electrons and all the things that go into the periodic table.
Don't try to show off. Don't try to show off.
I think you're better off just trying to figure out what to do with cupric sulfate without trying to read it off your body.
You are a cheater. Okay? You're a cheater.
You don't meet girls with cupric sulfate or whatever that is. Whatever you're talking about.
Yeah, what did you just say?
The atomic radii and the cupric sulfates and the periodic table of the elements. You have the coefficients and the subscripts and balancing equations. Exo and endothermic reactions.
How did you possibly meet your wife?
Fluke.
Iambic pentameter.
Yeah, because you got Derek Jeter on the horn.
Oh, that's right.
That was probably 99%.
What a bait and switch that is. You're on the phone with Derek Jeter, and then Todd shows up.
That was the first time you were unprofessional.
Yeah, there have been a few instances.
Yeah. Yeah.
I made Jim Mora, who was the Saints coach at the time, spend a half hour with me before going on a show that I was working on to try to tell me all the best restaurants so that I can impress my now wife or where I should take her in New Orleans to eat dinner.
And then you had Derek Jeter call your wife.
From his hotel room right before a limo was picking him up to come do a sports talk show. And I got Jen to come out of her classroom so they can chat and he can say hi to her for a minute.
That's so unprofessional.
And then you got the bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah videos.
Oh, well, that was almost a fireable offense. Because the first your son, and then you were told not to, and then you had your daughter, and you still did it.
But that was less sports people. That was more just a joke.
I know.
Nickelodeon, Disney.
I know. And look, kids. I understand why you did it, but I don't know if you understand why you shouldn't have done
it. Probably not. I don't think it's sunk in.
I think that's the key. Like, you don't know that you cheated, and you're not quite sure why anybody was upset that you reached out.
It's a lot of denial. It's a cloud of denial that I live in.
Yes, Eden.
Yeah, the best part of those videos was that for, like, months leading up to, and then months, if not years after, somebody would be like, oh, hey, by the way, Todd, I'll get you that video. Or, hey, how'd the video work out? Did that good? And it would be like, you know, Keanu Reeves being like, hey, Todd, how did that video work out? Is that okay?
Yes, Paulie.
What?
I still think the Jeter thing might be worse by Todd, because Todd was a young man in the industry and asking a young Yankee
all-star.
No, he
didn't know better then. He knew better with the bar mitzvah.
Well, he knew better and chose not to.
We flew Derek Jeter and coach from Newark to LAX. Imagine trying to do that these days.
Oh, my God.
He was in seat like 34D. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Rookie of the Year. I guess he didn't know better. The Yankees just won the World Series. Next thing you know, he's on a coach flight in the back of a plane from Newark to LAX to do some interview.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back, give you our best and worst of the weekend. It's 19 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. You know what I did yesterday? Stayed in bed. Yeah. Yesterday. A couple hours. Didn't do anything. Just was lying there. And I went, why should I get up? Yeah. I got my Sleep Number bed. It's comfortable. And my wife goes, what'd you do today? And I said, nothing. I just stayed in bed. She says, okay. I got my Sleep Number, 75. I got a great night's sleep. And figured, why not, you know, just hang out there? Nothing wrong with that. You'd want to jump in my bed, too. Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Right now, for a limited time, save up to $500 on select smart beds. Shop your way at a Sleep Number store, online at sleepnumber.com/Patrick, or by chat. You can dial them up and ask all the questions you want. You got two beds in one, perfect bed for couples that you don't argue, and as more places open up this summer, quality sleep is more important. Coming in and facing the Danettes every day, I have to have a great night's sleep. sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Go to a Sleep Number store or dial them up and chat. Good luck. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. No comment from the Big Ten or Pac-12 so far, following my report this morning. They're probably just getting everything together, getting that press release together, if it truly is going to happen tomorrow, where they announce they're not going to play fall football. I got something really special for you tomorrow night. If you want to watch us lose the Sports Emmy, you have the opportunity.
We don't know that.
I do know that they can watch us lose the Sports Emmy. We don't know that we've lost, but we don't know that we've won. We've lost the last two. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a red carpet treatment tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. We're going to try to start at 8-ish because we found out that the Best Daily Studio Show Award will be handed out very late. Yeah, I know. So the fact that we're doing this via Zoom, I'm hoping that everybody gets their victory speeches over and saves time for me to give a longer victory speech when we win. But what we're going to do is we're going to have you get the opportunity to watch with us. We're going to be watching the award ceremony. Marvin the Prince is going to be handling the interviews on the red carpet. Special sit-down interview with Paulie on why we were able to come up with another award-winning show this year and at least be in the category here, Best Daily Studio Show. And it's basically like E! Entertainment when they'd be live from the red carpet. That's what we're going to have tomorrow night. And then we're going to have champagne. I got food is catered. And you guys are coming in dressed up. And you can watch the show while we watch the show. Watch us lose the Sports Emmy. Yes,
that sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's tomorrow night. Danettes are going to be here. Backroom guys are going to be here. Penny's going to be here. Yeah, Paul.
Any chance McLovin works with a designer, like a glasses? You know, he'll drop dimensions. Who are you wearing? I can see him doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to.
I've been working on my outfit.
Yeah. And I said, you know, I want you guys to look like you would be if you were going to go to the Sports Emmys.
Look like Emmy winners.
Yeah. Look like a winner is what I want you to look like. We may not be a winner tomorrow night, but we're going to look like winners. And that starts at 8 Eastern-ish. We're going to start it live. And so the ceremony starts at 8. And then we're hoping before 9 o'clock they'll make the announcement in our category. I wanted it to be like the second or third category in. Let's just get it out of the way, and then we go to the bar. But, yeah, I told the big German, go get some champagne, one bottle per person, and not for drinking, for pouring it on each other when we win. Yeah, Paul.
Now, if somehow we lose, do we have to talk to the media afterwards, like a coach? Or no, can you just leave?
Oh, you can say no comment.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to be a powerful night. The Sports Emmys via Zoom, the Dan Patrick Show. And I've reached out. We couldn't have celebrities because of social distancing. I did reach out to Kevin Frazier from Entertainment Tonight, and I wanted to know if he'd like to take part in it, which Kevin said he would, just to understand the magnitude of how big of a story this could be if the Dan Patrick Show won the Sports Emmy. Ryan Seacrest passed on it. Understandable. He's got other things, more important things to do. Yes, Eden.
I was just saying how much I really want to win.
I know you do.
I really do. I really, 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 really want to win. Because you know what it is, too? Like when you work at ESPN and all of your friends have 37 Emmys because they all work on SportsCenter and they're like, oh, it's been a couple years since I picked one up. It's nice to get another one. And you're like, ah.
But there are a lot of guys who didn't really work on shows who got Emmys.
That's okay. I'd take that. I'd take that Emmy.
Okay. It's not going to change your life.
It might.
It'll change your mantle. That's it. It's okay. Not going to change your life.
Okay.
But yeah, it's. I would like to win for you guys. I'd like for you guys to win because, you know, you deserve it. But I don't think we're going to win. I know. I don't like feeling that way. I just don't think we're going to win. Who are we up against? Pardon the interruption.
Ugh.
Right? Who else is in there? MLB Tonight?
Ugh.
How did we lose to MLB Tonight?
Outside the Lines gets in there a lot.
Yeah, I know. But Bob Lee's not there anymore, so that can only help us. Is the jump in there with Rachel Nichols?
Yeah.
Oh, God. But we do 3 hours every day. They do a little half hour show, maybe an hour show. Although MLB Tonight does a few more. Yeah, Todd.
I think I asked you guys this once before, but better or worse to find out what the final numbers were about where you finished as far, like second or last or in the middle of the pack.
But I'd be fine if I finished last in the category, but I was still nominated every year.
It's just an honor to be nominated.
It is. It is. I would say that to my, I'd have to remind myself so much so that my kids would say, hey, Dad, it's okay. It's just an honor to be nominated, because I'd always say that when I would lose. I'd come home late at night and then my kids would be up in the morning. They'd go, did you win? And I'd go, no, but it's just an honor to be nominated. So then it became a punchline, because I'd go to the sports Emmys and then they would say, Dad, it's just an honor to be nominated. But that's our big party tomorrow night, a viewing party where you get to view us lose the sports Emmy. This might be the first time that's ever happened. A live show where you get to watch losers. Yes, yeah, Heaton.
Other than what people have been watching for the last 10 years.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if it's Chat Row who came up with it, but somebody tweeted, because this audience is extremely bright. We have a new submission for Todd. Todd did Section Row Seat, you know, that famous joke that fell flat many times. Some people suggested Section Row Cheat with you.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Just a gift that keeps on giving.
Yep. Section Row Cheat.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yep.
Now that's funny.
Section Row.
So I'd be standing on stage with like a cheat sheet with my bad jokes that I'm kind of peeking at that I should have memorized.
Maybe you should have a cheat sheet on stage. That would have helped.
With actual jokes in it that make people
teleprompter. A couple of phone calls, then we'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. John in Denver joins us, not to be confused with John Denver. Hi, John.
Hi, DP. Good morning to the guys. Best and worst of the weekend. Best, Justin Thomas on the fifth hole birdie dropping a huge F-bomb. He's like one of us. We've all been there.
Yeah.
And the worst, NHL released their playoff schedule, and the Avalanche, unfortunately, will not be seen by a lot of Colorado residents due to Comcast and Xfinity dispute talks with Altitude Sports Network.
Yeah. Thanks, John. You know, you always get tied up in those local TV deals and, you know, the blackouts and those kind of things. So sorry to hear that. Let's go around the room. What we learned, or no, best and worst of the weekend. I'm all over the place today. Todd, best and worst of the weekend.
Best of the weekend, the game Saturday between the Nuggets and Jazz. Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell take over with Murray's Nuggets outlasting Mitchell's Jazz in double overtime. 134-132, one of those instant classics. It was great. Worst of the weekend, Ben Simmons.
I don't know if it's an instant classic.
That was a huge game, the way they were
trading punches
like that.
Do you realize that nobody responded to your text?
I did notice that. But just the same, if you happen to be watching, Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray going back and forth, double overtime, Todd, was fantastic.
Todd, if it could be breathless, if a text could be breathless, then it would have, you would have.
And I kept giving you guys updates, wondering, what is my phone not working? Maybe I lost service. We had that whole hurricane thing.
No, everybody's phone was working. We were just going, wait.
Minute 12 left, 46 seconds. They're going into double over. You see that shot by Mitchell? Anybody out there? Murray just hit. No, anybody? Murray again.
An instant classic. Okay, what else do you have?
The worst, Ben Simmons needing knee surgery, likely done for the season. I don't know what that does to a McLovin Sixers if they're better without him, or that drastically changes their playoff stock.
Yeah. I think their coach is in jeopardy. But I would try to keep Simmons and Embiid together and try to figure it. I mean, these are two players that will probably end up being Hall of Famers. I would try to hold on to them and figure this out. You know, you have to get better perimeter shooters. But I don't know. I try to keep them together. Yeah, McLovin.
All right, so I'll start with my worst. I'm blaming Major League Baseball. These seven-inning doubleheaders are ridiculous because the Phillies were just picking up momentum when they lost 8-0 in the second end of a doubleheader to the Braves and 5-2 in the first. If we had nine innings, we would have won.
Of course
games.
You would have.
Acuna hit four homers in a day. That's ridiculous. My best is a guy named Rodney McGruder hit a game winner for the Clippers over the Blazers. And I had to Google. I'm like, wait, who?
That's not a real player.
Yeah, Rodney McGruder. Apparently, he used to start for the Rockets,
Paulie,
too.
Check on that.
I know he's kidding. He's kidding.
Come on.
And then, like, every day of the bubble, Austin Rivers put up a 41.
I know.
What the heck is that?
Did his dad ever put up 41 in a game? I don't think Doc ever did. But when I heard Austin Rivers putting up 41, I went, okay, McLovin may have something to his theory that everybody puts up big numbers in the bubble.
TJ Warren is pushing Michael Jordan for the best player of all time.
He is the Michael Jordan of the bubble. Yes, Paul.
Rodney McGruder, yeah, he's out of Kansas State. He was a Heat for the past 3 years.
No, he was in Sioux City between the Heat and the Clippers.
He definitely played for the Heat for like 70 games, a little Sioux City action.
Seton O'Connor, best and worst of the weekend.
McGruder is the best. Actually, my best, I watched this documentary called Speed Cubers. It's about competitive Rubik's Cubing. Holy moly, it is mind-blowing. It's unreal. As someone who's never once in my whole life finished a Rubik's Cube, some of these dudes could do it in 4 seconds. That's crazy how fast their hands move. It's unbelievable. Blew my mind. And it's like really competitive.
Wait, 4 seconds they can do the whole thing?
Yeah. Yeah. They could do like they do these competitions, right, where the clock will start as soon as he picks it up, as soon as the person picks it up. And then they'll just like their fingers fly like crazy and then they just throw it down. Done. And I'm like, okay, 7 seconds, a new world record. Unbelievable. It's crazy.
Do you have a worst?
My worst was the Ben Simmons injury, too. Oh, okay. That's just brutal.
Yes, Paul.
These Rubik's Cubes kids, can someone in the government ask them to put the little thing down and work on something that's important for a couple hours? Mm. Like maybe ask these guys to go to a tech school.
So what they say is that they actually memorize sort of algorithms within in patterns. And that there's just thousands of them. And just through all of these hours of practice, they get used to the patterns and like sort of rhythms of how these colors move. And then they can figure it out, which is...
I got other things to do.
If you could be the greatest Rubik's Cuber of all time.
Or me. I'm going to go me.
Same here.
I'm going to go me. Although, you know what I was watching over the weekend? And I got caught. So I was on my tablet, and I'm watching videos, and it was fly fishing, casting, to see how far you can cast a fly. And one guy, the record is 243 feet, I think. This guy is the world fly fishing, whatever. He's won it like 40 years. Like he's the Jordan, Tom Brady, Bill Russell.
Steve the Castmaster Johnson out of Missoula. Love his work.
Yeah.
Was it good? Good TV?
Well, there is something about being able to use a fly rod. It's like a metronome. There's a rhythm to it. And when people do it really well, there's something about it. And I've been fly fishing. I'm in no way a great fly fisherman, or even a good one. I'm the accidental fly fisherman, and I'll accidentally catch a fish or two. But no, there's something about it. It was calming. Yes.
I'd love to go on a fly fishing trip. I think I've hit that age somehow.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, that sounds great.
Because great locations.
Yeah.
And if you have a great guide, and I did Fly Fishing the World with John Barrett, and we went up to British Columbia. It was as good a vacation of. We had to have a seaplane. We stayed in this floating hotel,
dude,
owned by the CEO of Sony or whatever. He built this beautiful ski or fishing lodge.
It was a dump, huh?
Yeah. And then you're there. I mean, it was spectacular. The setting, the scenery, spectacular.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Paulie, did you give your best?
Best of the weekend, Colin Morikawa, right after his round yesterday, he's in the lead to the PGA, and he's sitting there with his girlfriend on like a stone bench in front of a fountain,
yeah.
And there's no one around, and he's waiting for Dustin Johnson to wrap it up. It was just the weirdest way to win a major. He's sitting all by himself, and they're playing on their phones, waiting for the other guy to wrap up. The other, I would say worst of the weekend, I'm not sure, weirdest, Bryson DeChambeau, he is a big, bloated, like he's very gym teacher looking. Dan, this is going to be, I don't think this is going to be good for him and his back long term. Has it ever been?
No, I remember when Tiger was swinging, people said, can that his body with, you know, hold up?
It's really entertaining and it making him a big name, but he's gigantic.
Yeah. But then you have guys who are 60 pounds less than him that hit it almost as far as he does. This Cameron Champ, he hits it as long as anybody.
So maybe the visual is making me think that he's doing more torque on his back.
Oh, I think just carrying that weight and swinging as hard as you possibly can. Like, I just think at one point, a body part, like an arm's going to fall off. It'll go down the fairway. Yeah, see.
Did you see there's a hole in one?
Yes.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I don't know how often that happens
in a major.
Certainly in a major, but that's pretty cool.
But no, there's no fans there to react. You just hear one guy going, oh!
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, yay! I did it.
All right. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Colin Morikawa will join us on the program tomorrow, I believe. We'll take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow here, Dan Patrick Show. Colin Morikawa, PGA champ, will join us. Reggie Miller set to join us from the bubble as well. I laugh out loud when I read this, and I've read it a couple times this morning. The Mets starting lineup on Sports New York, SNY, on Friday night, prior to the game with the Miami Marlins, was sponsored by a New York area party planning company called Send in the Clowns. So just imagine when, you know, Howie Rose, the announcer, is going, and tonight's New York Mets starting lineup brought to you by Send in the Clowns. I don't know why. That makes me laugh every time. Send in the Clowns. Yes, indeed. And who's sponsoring the lineup? Oh, no. It's Send in the Clowns, a New York area party planning company. Clowns creep me out, by the way. I'm not a big Clowns fan. Never was.
Did you ever go to the circus as a child?
Yeah. I never.
Did you cry a little, Dan?
I don't know. I might have. I never trusted those clowns. Speaking of which, yes, McClellan.
Did you ever try and watch the movie It with the killer clown?
I watched for about 7 minutes, and I said, no, I'm done.
Yeah, that'll freak you out.
I'm good. I'm done. I don't need to watch anymore.
You ever seen the movie Poltergeist?
Yeah.
You remember there was a big clown scene where the doll came to life and pulled the kid under the bed and they got into a big brawl in the room there.
Let's go. Let's see. A few more phone calls here. I don't know what to.
Nothing to say. What? Sharing a clown?
No, I appreciate it.
I must have freaked you out, I guess, was my point, when the clown came to life in Poltergeist.
But that's a toy clown in Poltergeist.
Which makes it even scarier.
These are real clowns.
Yeah, but that's even scarier. A toy comes to life and his facial expression changes.
Nathan in Alaska joins us. Hey, Nathan.
What's going on, Danny? How you doing?
Hi, bud.
And it's actually Nathan. It's like, I don't blame Marvin. It's like Jason with an N. It's a little different. So I actually had a question for him. I want to switch it up instead of doing best and worst, if that's all right with you.
Okay, Nathan.
So the question I had would be, obviously you guys aren't going to lose tomorrow. But let's just say, hypothetically,
yeah,
if you guys did lose, last week you were talking about betting on the field. Would you take the reason why you guys lose? Would you say it's because of Fritzy, or would you take the field?
I don't want to put any blame on anybody if we don't win.
Can't believe you said that.
I mean, you're the field.
I mean, I will.
Wow.
How do we go from Tiger in the field and golf Thomas to Fritzy?
Like, I don't want to, but I will.
Dang.
Put blame. Yeah, Pauline.
Make it more positive. Who would be least responsible for us if we won? You know, you spin it positive.
Mm. Yeah, I don't even want to do that either. No. Look, it's just an honor to be nominated. But you can watch us lose tomorrow night if you watch on youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show at 8 Eastern-ish. That's when the red carpet ceremony, catered food, champagne is not to be touched until the announcement, because we're either drinking or we're pouring it on one another. We win or we lose. Let me see. What else do we have here? Oakley in South Dakota. By the way, was his name Nason?
I think it was Nason, like Jason.
Oh, and Marvin had Nathan on there. Okay. Oakley.
Hey, DP, 6'195". Mm-hmm. Best and worst of the weekend for you. My wife gave birth to a baby boy, nice. 7 pounds, 10 ounces, 20.5 inches.
And what's his name?
Well, that's the worst of the weekend. They're trying to kick us out of the hospital here in 10 minutes, and we still haven't named it. We've got it narrowed down to two choices, okay. One being Track, T-R-A-K, and I'm lobbying for Rush, R-U-S-H.
Rush.
One of the input of some Emmy winners to tell me what direction we should go.
What's your last name?
Haynes, H-A-I-N-E-S.
Haynes. Rush, yes. Haynes. Hmm. You guys want to offer a suggestion to Oakley for Haynes? Rush or Track? Track Haynes. Hmm. You know what, Oak? I've been in the situation before where we didn't have a name for my daughter and we just threw a name on her and then we left the building. And then we had to change her name 6 weeks later. So my daughter was, we thought she was going to be a boy and then we didn't have a girl's name. And so we threw Emily on her and then changed it to Georgia like 6 weeks later. Had to go down to the courthouse. So good luck with that. But, and congratulations on the baby. Yeah, they won't let you leave until you name the baby. And I said, my wife goes, we don't have any a girl's name. I said, just give her a name. Let's go. I would lean towards Rush Haynes. I'm going to go Rush Haynes there. Luke in Alabama. Hey, Luke.
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. And, yeah. And I look forward to watching y'all win or someone else win. You don't lose. It's just someone else win.
Okay. Thank you, Luke.
I have a best and a question. My best is Tyson's interview last week piqued my interest, so I watched Shark Week. And now I have a newfound respect for McLovin for standing on a beach watching a great white. I mean, it's so brave. It's really impressive. He is something else.
Thank you, Luke.
My question is, though, if you could have a cheating scandal with Todd, where he rigged the Emmys, but you didn't find out about it for 25 years, like his school cheating. Would you take that win?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I would do it for the kids. I'd do it for those guys. I mean, I'd keep the trophy. But Todd couldn't keep a secret for 25 years.
That would never happen.
But thank you, Luke. And McLovin, Shark Week, people are really recognizing your brand. It's on point here.
I watched Mike Tyson last night. He went down in a cage with sharks. He almost tapped out. He is a brave man. He looks so terrified. I'm never, ever doing that. Getting in a cage with sharks, never.
And his fight just got postponed until...
Like late November or something.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. They told me late November. It could be 2021 or something. It's hard to put the boxing gloves on the fin of the shark when you have to fight
it. What did you learn today, Todd?
The Marlins added an Olympic speed skater from Sochi, infielder Eddie Alvarez getting out there.
McLovin.
It's just an honor to be nominated.
Yes, it is. Seton O'Connor Jr. III.
Honor to be nominated.
Yeah. Paul?
It's going to be a weird 24 hours for college football.
Yes, it is. Todd, what did I learn?
The Mets starting lineup Friday night, sponsored by a party planning company called Send in the Clowns.
I also learned it's Section Row Cheat.
Okay.
What We Learned brought to you by LegalZoom. We're all faced with new challenges these days. If you need legal help, count on LegalZoom. You can reach them online. Their network of independent attorneys provide advice when you need it. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. PGA champ Colin Morikawa tomorrow and Reggie Miller. Hope you'll join us as well here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. Our friends from DraftKings have you hooked up for UFC 252. You'll have two of the sport's most respected fighters stepping into the octagon this weekend. No better place to get in on all the action than DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new users a free shot at $1 million in total prizes. If you haven't tried fantasy MMA, it's easy to play. You pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. But if MMA isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy contests for all the sports that have returned to action. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code SQUAD. Get a free shot at $1 million in total prizes for this weekend's UFC 252 contest. That's promo code SQUAD to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.